We are in a series where we're talking about signs of spiritual renewal in our lives. And as we've learned in this series, the same things that show us we are experiencing spiritual renewal in our lives are the things that show us we need spiritual renewal in our lives. Because God works in those areas. God works to show us that we need revival, we need renewal in our lives, we need our relationship with Him to be strengthened and renewed. And when it is, those same areas that He's speaking to will demonstrate that spiritual renewal in our lives. It will show up because that's where God works. And that's where we see the heart of God, and that's where God is at work in our lives. So when we're experiencing spiritual renewal, we'll see these characteristics, these signs in our lives. You may be sitting here this morning and you're thinking, now what is spiritual renewal? Or you may be sitting here this morning thinking you're experiencing spiritual renewal in your life, that God is doing a great work in your life. But it could be you're sitting here this morning and you need spiritual renewal in your life. You need God to do a fresh work in your life. This past week, I read that the citizens of Achill Island in Ireland have had an experience very similar to what we would call a spiritual experience. Or those theirs was not a spiritual renewal. Achill Island is home to Dua Beach in Ireland, and Dua Beach, much like our beaches, is a tourist attraction. And for many, many years, tourists would come every year to Dua Beach to enjoy the beautiful, pristine environment on this Irish island. And then 33 years ago, some storms came in and the tide shifted and an extraordinary thing happened to Dua Beach. All of the sand on Dua Beach washed away. And what was left in its place was just the rocky underneath of the beach, just rocks. Rocks across, instead of looking at like a beach, it started to look like a cavern of some kind. But rocks were left where the beach was supposed to be. It's been that way for 33 years. So for 33 years, Dua Beach and Achill Island have lost much of their tourist industry. They have struggled. Though everything else about the island is beautiful and pristine, the beach is gone. And there's just rocks in its place. Then this past April, the tide shifted again. And in an extraordinary way that scientists really have no explanation for, after a storm came through and the tide shifted again, Dua Beach was once again covered in sand. The beach had returned. The residents of Achill Island and Dua Beach said it was miraculous. It was miraculous. And they nicknamed Dua Beach Born Again Beach. What a remarkable illustration of what God is doing in our lives when He is renewing us, He is reviving us, He is refreshing us. Because we can live our lives as believers for a while and not even realize that we're turning away, wandering away from God, or maybe sin's getting into our life, and where there used to be that spiritual vitality, instead we have hardened our hearts against God. Instead of spiritual vitality, there's a rocky place. But when we realize that's happening and we repent and we come back to God and He begins a spiritual renewal in our life as only He can do, supernaturally bringing back to us the power of God and the life-giving love of God into our lives, we experience that renewal. We experience that power of God in our lives. Maybe that's what you need this morning. Maybe you realize that your spiritual life is more like a rocky coast than it is a sandy, pristine beach where God is at work. And I want to invite you in a little while to admit that to God. God's been speaking to you. You need to admit that to God and say, God, I need revival. God, I need renewal in my life. I need that fresh touch of God that will turn my life around. See, only God can do that. We can't do that on our own. More religion won't do it. More good works won't do it. We need God to do a move in our lives, a supernatural work of God, where we step back and we say, that's just miraculous. But look what God did as He renewed us spiritually. He restored us spiritually. And we're back in fellowship with Him. This morning we return to Psalm 51. If you have your Bible, pick it up and turn there. As we were there last week and we learned of King David's, that King David wrote this psalm as a response, a confession to his sin with Bathsheba. He wrote this psalm as a plea for God's forgiveness. And David fully understood what it meant to be restored to God, what it meant to be forgiven, and what it meant to experience spiritual renewal in his life as he turned and came back to his God and let God do that work in his life, and let God do that work in him. What's interesting about this psalm is very much of it is made up of a prayer, David pleading for God to do a work in his life. But many times throughout the psalm, David also states what he expects God to do as a result of answering his prayer. He anticipates God showing up and God working. And as we'll read, one of the things that David expects God to do is to show up in his life and restore, revive his concern for lost people. See, the basic truth is, when you and I have wandered away from God, hardened our hearts toward God, when we're not in right fellowship with God, we become far more concerned about ourselves than we do about anyone else around us. We become far more concerned about taking care of us than reaching the hurting and the lost people around us. So when we are in spiritual renewal, we find out fast that what God does is he restores that desire, that passion to reach lost people around us. Why would he do that? Because that's his heart. That's who God is. That's what God does, so that's what God wants us to do. Look there with me in Psalm 51. We're going to start reading at verse 10. As King David expresses his prayer and then anticipates what will come next. So Psalm 51, verse 10. David says, God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. Then I will teach the rebellious your ways and sinners will return to you. Did you notice that? Work in me your work and the outcome will be that I will teach transgressors or the rebellious your way, and as a result of that, people will come back to God. Sinners will return to God. See, David anticipates that the work of God in him will produce results that bring other people back to God. David says in the psalm, God, create a clean heart for me, renew a steadfast spirit within me. And it's from that that he anticipates God restoring his concern for lost people. Now watch this. When David says, create in me a clean heart, David uses a specific Hebrew word that we translate create. And in the Old Testament, it's a word that's only used of God. It's never used of people. Because it never means take something already in existence and make something else out of it. This particular word is the same word that's used in the opening of the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created. It's only used of God, and it always means create out of nothing. Create out of nothing. Now pay attention to what David's saying. David is saying, God, I don't want you to take the old sinner self in me and just change it a little bit. I don't want you to rework me a little bit. I don't want you to take my condition right now and polish it and save it and take care of it. God, I want you to wash me clean. We already read that last week. Wash me clean, God. Start all over and create in me a new heart, a clean person. This is what God does for us supernaturally. When you were born again in Christ, the Bible says you became a new creation in Christ. Only God can do that. David knows that's what he needs to start over with God for full spiritual renewal. David needs God to create in him a new heart. In other words, David wants to return to the ways of God, to thinking like God, and to seeing people the way God sees them. When we are away from God, when we've wandered off, when we're out of fellowship, when we're in sin, when our habits are unproductive, when we're not where God wants us to be, we operate out of our own thinking, our own heart. We need God's heart to change. We need God to change us. And one of the things God will do is give us his same passions and desires. When you start thinking the way God thinks, when I start seeing the world the way God sees the world, you know what happens? It restores my deep concern for lost and hurting people. Because that's God's heart. That's God's heart. That's who God is. That's what God does. That's why Jesus gave us the Great Commission. He told us to go. To go and make disciples of all people. That's why the Bible says Jesus' purpose for coming to this world was to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why we're here. That's what God wants us to do, is to reach lost people. Spiritual renewal, real spiritual renewal, always shows in a renewed and revived concern for lost people. And by the same token, if we have no concern for lost and hurting people, if we're not concerned at all for the spiritual condition of the people we work with, the relatives we have, the people in our neighborhood, if we're not concerned about them at all, it's an indication that we're in desperate need of spiritual revival in our lives, because we're not seeing the world the way God sees it. Only God can change that in us, but when He does, it changes our perspective, it changes our thinking, because it changes our heart for the people around us. Tim Stafford is a Christian writer, writes mostly for Christianity Today magazine, but he has a blog, and in his blog he talks about a man named Max Dunn. Max was a good friend of Tim Stafford's for many, many years, until Max passed away at the age of 95. And Max worked for several companies. He was an executive in business, made a lot of money, came to Christ while he was in the business world. So then when he retired, Max decided that he wanted to serve out, he wanted to live out his days serving God. There were other things he wanted to do. And one of the first things Max did after he retired from the business world was committed himself to missions. Wherever God wanted him to go, that's where he would go. He even went to Fuller Theological Seminary in California and got a master's degree in missions. But what he didn't know was God took him to that area not only so he could get educated about missions, but so that he could serve. Because Max, while he was in California, Max started going to the Salvation Army unit for addicts and alcoholics. He started going on a regular basis to serve with those with addictions and to serve with alcoholics and to help them. And that going on a regular basis ended up going on a weekly basis, ended up going several days a week. Max just fell in love with those people. He developed God's heart for those in addiction and those who were alcoholics and those who needed the gospel and those who needed to turn their lives around. He became great friends to many of them. And when he passed away, when he was actually in his last moments, Max said his only regret was that he would not be able to go back and see his friends at the Salvation Army. Tim Stafford writes this. He said, "I did wonder how Max became so indiscriminate in his friendliness. It really was unusual, because his peers in business, well, they were willing to help out with good causes, but they didn't choose to hang out with drug addicts. But Max did. Max had a profound spiritual transformation that helped him know that Jesus is alive and active through the Holy Spirit. For people like Max, that turned faith from a list of beliefs to a real experience, an experience of Jesus. That explains, I think, why Max liked everybody. If you want to see somebody who talked to everybody, helped everybody, believed in everybody, loved everybody, but especially the poor and the desperate, that person would be Jesus, and Max learned it from him." If you and I have the heart of God, we see people the way God sees them. If we have the heart of God, we see people the way God sees them. If we don't see people the way God sees them, we're in desperate need of spiritual renewal and revival, because God's heart is for the lost and the hurting. Go back to the psalm with me for just a minute, because what I want us to explore this morning is the prayer of David that God would restore a heart in him for the lost and for the hurting, and how God does that. How does God revive in us a concern for lost people, and what does it look like when God does that? So consider this with me this morning. First of all, when God revives in us a concern for lost people, God restores our joy of salvation. God restores our joy of salvation. David prays for this because David understands that the starting point for a true concern for lost people is remembering what it was like to be lost. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, do you remember when you were saved? If you were saved as a child, you may not have quite as much a memory of it, but if you were saved as a teenager, as a young adult, as an older adult, you remember it well. And so you remember well what your life was like before you came to Christ, before you trusted Him to save you. And you remember well what it was like to be lost. The joy of our salvation comes from knowing what it's like to be lost, remembering the desperate situation we were in before Christ saved us from our sins, before He pursued us and we responded and turned to Christ to be saved. God returns to us the joy of our salvation by reminding us what it means to be lost. If we're to have a passion for lost people, it starts with understanding that we were lost. Understanding what Ephesians chapter 2 means when Paul says that we were hopeless and without God in this world. We had no hope before Christ came, before He saved us from our sins. And the most joyful moment was the moment we realized that we had been saved. Not because we were good enough, but because God was gracious and He came to us and we responded. We repented of our sins and we responded and trusted Christ as our Savior. And we've been saved because of God's goodness. David prays, "Return to me the joy of my salvation." When God begins to reignite in us a desire to reach lost people, a love for lost people, His heart for the hurting and the lost, He reminds us that we were lost once too. And then He reminds us what it's like to be saved. And then He impassions us with a desire for everyone to experience that. Everyone to know what it's like to be saved. Our relatives, our friends, our co-workers, everyone should experience that joy. When we're far from God, when the beaches become rocks, we're not experiencing that joy. It's not foremost in our minds. What's foremost in our minds is us. We're focused on ourselves. So we need God to restore that joy. So in turn, we can help others experience it as well. Several years ago, a Polish railroad worker named Jan Grebski had a terrible accident, and he was in the hospital for a while, and as a result of the accident, he was in a coma. And doctors told his wife, Gertrude, we don't have any idea if he'll ever come out of this coma. Quite likely, he's not going to make it anyway. What do you want to do? You need to make some decisions. You want to move him to a facility, you just need to make some decisions. She said, "When I married Jan, it was for better or worse, sickness or health, I'm taking him home." So she did. And she established a commitment that she would take care of her husband, now in a coma, now in their home. She fed him as doctors and nurses told her to do. She turned him, she bathed him, she changed his sheets. Every day, nearly every hour, she was by his bedside. She read him books. She talked to him about the Lord. Every day, days turned into weeks, weeks turned into months, but she was always there with him. She was faithful to her husband who lay there in a coma, and she really had no idea if he knew she was even there. This went on for weeks, for months. Months turned into a year. For 19 years, Gertrude took care of Jan right there, right by his bedside. And then one day, inexplicably, for no particular reason, it seems, while she was sitting by his bed, tending to his needs, suddenly Jan opened his eyes. And the first sight he saw was Gertrude. The first thing he knew is that she had never left him. She had never abandoned him. She'd always taken care of him. While he was away in the dark, the world had changed. The Soviet Union had crumbled. His homeland of Poland was quite different. But the one thing that had not changed was the love of his wife, who was sitting right there waiting for him to wake up. It reminds us of God's love for us. If you're in need of spiritual renewal and you wonder what God is doing in the meantime, God's waiting for you to wake up. He still loves you, but He wants you to come back out of the dark. He wants to restore to your life the things of God. He wants you to come back to Him. And He wants to give you back that joy of knowing how much He loves you, the joy of your salvation. So when God revives in us a concern for lost people, one of the first things he'll do is restore to us the joy of our salvation. The second thing God will do is replenish our desire to serve God. God replenishes that desire to serve him. David puts it this way as part of his prayer, sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. See, David understands that right now I'm recommitting myself to the Lord. I'm asking him to renew in me fellowship, to refresh me and revive me. But what will tomorrow look like? What will next year look like? What will be like 10 years from now? I need God to sustain that willingness in me to have fellowship with him. Now, David also means he wants God to sustain that willingness not to sin against God. But right beside that is the willingness long-term to serve God. When we ask God for spiritual renewal and revival, we need to also admit to God, I need your help, your power, your filling to make this happen. I need God to work in me long-term as I make this fresh commitment. And even more so because my commitment includes now loving and reaching out to lost people. God has turned my mind back to the world around me, and I need God's help in paying attention to that, seeing people the way God sees me. How we perceive people is a sure indication of where we are in our relationship with God. When we're drifting from God, when we're away from him, when we've hardened our heart toward the things of God, little by little, more and more, our focus turns inward. We're concerned about ourselves. We're concerned about how good we look, how much we have, and how well we're doing. Less and less are we concerned about the things of God. Now, we console ourselves because we say, now, wait a minute, I'm pretty religious. I still come to church. But once the religious activity is over and we're outside the doors, it's really all about us. That's a sure sign that we have drifted away from the things of God, and a sure sign we need spiritual renewal. Because when God renews us, when the fire of God for lost people gets back in us, rather than focusing on ourselves, we start focusing on other people. We start praying for other people and serving other people and caring about other people. It's one of the first things that happens in our lives because that's the heart of God. True spiritual revival and renewal gives us an outward focus for hurting and lost people. We see the world differently because we see it the way God sees it. David knows this, but he says, God, you need to sustain that in me. How easy it is for me to drift back into selfishness and self-centeredness. How easy it is for me to forget about the people all around me. How easy it is for me to get busy with life. As schedules change, how easy it is for me to forget on this day I told God that I would keep an outward look, that I would love people, that I would pursue lost people, that I would participate with him in the things of God. How easy it is to get away from that over time. So God, David says, God, you need to sustain in me that passion, that desire, that willingness to serve others and to stay clean before you. It's a natural effect sometimes of life and our commitments for us to drift away from those commitments and drift away from outreach and drift away from evangelism. That's what gets hurt first. That's what gets hurt first because we have to focus. You know, no one comes to Christ accidentally. The Bible teaches that someone must tell them the gospel. Someone must have a heart for the lost and the hurting. Someone must help them. Someone must tell them. Someone must go to them. No one comes to Christ or gets saved accidentally. They come to Christ or get saved because you and I shared the gospel with them, or you and I worked hard to make it happen. And when we're making that commitment today, we can't see down the road what's going to change in our lives. But if we go the natural route of things, we will drift away from that commitment to reach people. So we shouldn't go the natural route. We need God's supernatural help to sustain that willingness, to sustain that passion. We need God to keep us motivated, to keep us filled with the Spirit, to keep us focused on the things outside. This impacts every church, but it impacts our church as well. That drift away from that commitment to reach people. I want to give you a couple of very specific and practical examples. I'm not telling you what I'm about to tell you to make you feel guilty or to point out anybody. I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you this is what This is the reason that we need God's help in sustaining the long look and making sure we stay committed to the cause of reaching the lost for Christ. God needs to help us do that. 10 years ago, we began a ministry called Grow. On Tuesday nights, we had about 25 people coming out to reach out to people in our community, to make visits, to make phone calls, to write letters, to follow up on folks. 25 people on a regular basis. We were having a great time. We were eating brownies on Tuesday night. That was 10 years ago. Now we have 4 people consistently. Consistently 4 people. Here's our problem. The number of people who need to be reached, that hasn't changed. And in fact, it's probably grown. So what happened to the other 21 people? Life changes. And when life changes, if we don't ask God to help us sustain that willing spirit to stay here, to focus outward, when life starts to change and we get pulled other ways, what's the first thing to go? Reaching out to the lost and the hurting. Another example, 5 years ago, we launched one of the most significant ministries that we have called Upward Sports. Upward Sports is specifically designed for outreach. Many of us think of it as a recreation ministry, just as we think of Samaritan's Purse as a shoebox ministry. But in truth, it's a ministry to reach lost people for Christ. And for 5 years, that has been going strong. You may recall, if you were here that Sunday morning 5 years ago when we launched Upward Sports, we set up soccer goals at the front. You remember that? And we called people to commit to Upward Sports. And over 100 people came forward and put their names, 100 members of First Baptist Church came forward, put their names in those soccer goals, saying, I'm on board, I'm in here, let's reach people through Upward Sports. Good for you. Fast forward 5 years later. In the ministry today, we have about 40 members of First Baptist Church participating. Does that mean we need less people to do it? No. That means that the other 60 people who walked down here and put their names in got busy with other things, got distracted with other things. Life changed, rearranged. And they forgot to ask God to sustain them with a willing spirit. The need hasn't changed. The lost are still out there. If anything, the number of lost in Brunswick County is greater than it's ever been. We need God. If we rely on the natural inclination to reach people, we'll never do it. We need God's heart for people, God to supernaturally renew in us a passion and a concern for lost people. That's how we sustain a ministry to reaching lost people and how we sustain our concern for lost people as well, which leads us to the third thing. All this is to say, David anticipates what God is going to do, and God does reignite our concern for the lost. God reignites our concern for the lost. God turns our attention outward. David anticipates this will happen. As he prays for it, he expects God to do it. He says, then I will teach the rebellious your ways, and sinners will return to you. David doesn't hand it off to someone else. David says, then here's what I will do. I will participate. I will teach transgressors, those who have rebelled against God. I will remind them who God is. I will teach them the things of God. I will stand for the truth. And when I do, and when they hear the message, how will they respond? They will return. They will come back. They will return to God because God wants them to come back. You know, the Bible says that God doesn't want anyone to perish. God wants everyone to come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants everyone to come to Christ. But the Bible also says that God wants us to be the ones telling them how to come to Christ. Even King David, hundreds of years before Christ walked the earth, King David understood that he had to be the one doing the teaching. But he needed God to sustain him in that, God to renew that excitement about it, that passion for the lost. Then he says, I will teach them the ways of God, and they will come back. God expects us to participate. God wants us to participate. I'll prove it to you. A lot of times we think that we're on earth to be happy. Now, follow me on this. We think we're on earth to be happy, so we transfer that into our church experience. We believe church exists to make us happy. And the next step behind that is to say, therefore, it's God's job to make me happy, right? We're sitting here thinking, many of us do, that God's job is to make us happy. Do you know what God would do if God just wanted to make you happy? If that was God's only goal, if God's only goal was to make you, the believer in Christ, happy, you know what God would do? He would take you to glory just like that. Because you will never be as happy on earth as you will be in heaven. So why are you here? You are here to serve the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are here because God's got a job for you to do. And your job is not to be happy. Your job is to reach the lost for Christ. To tell them you will never believe what it's like to be saved. Your job and my job is to persistently and regularly remind ourselves we need to see people the way God sees people, and we need God's help doing that. And if we need spiritual renewal and revival to do it, then we need to plead with God. If we have sinned against God for our lack of concern for the lost, we need to plead for His forgiveness. We need to ask God to cleanse us and create in us a new heart that gives us a vision for reaching lost people, that helps us see people the way God sees people. There's a man named Mike, lives in California, right outside of Sacramento, and Mike decided he was going to go fishing not long ago in a lake that he had discovered in the wilderness outside of Sacramento. So he loaded up his kayak and his fishing gear, and he went out to go fishing. And he fished in this lake for a while, and nothing was happening, no bites, no fish. So Mike thought, well, maybe it's the bait. So Mike pulled his kayak up to the shore, up to his campsite. He left it there, and he thought to himself, I'll just go a little deeper into the woods and collect me some crickets for bait. So off he went, hiking into the woods in the wilderness outside of Sacramento, hunting crickets. Couldn't find any, and went a little further, until suddenly Mike realized he didn't know where he was. Now, he had a little map, and the map was of the lake and of the terrain right around the lake, so he pulled out that map. He took a look at it and immediately recognized that he had actually traveled farther than the map. He wasn't on the map. So he started figuring out which direction he'd come from, which direction to go, and started walking in those directions. And he estimates he tried about 6 different times to find his way back to the lake, and each time simply got more and more and more lost. Add to that, when Mike launched off for crickets, he didn't take any food with him. He didn't take any water with him. And now Mike came to terms with the fact that he was lost in the wilderness of California. So he sat down at a tree and he thought this through. He said, well, the one thing I have to have is water. The one thing I have to have is water. And he could live for a while on that water. It took rescue workers 5 days to find Mike. In the meantime, he drank water from puddles and small streams wherever he could find it. And on the day he heard the helicopters overhead, Mike rushed out to a clearing with pine straw. And with pine straw, he wrote the word help in the clearing. And the helicopter circled back and rescued him. I'm going to make a very profound statement here, okay? Very profound. I know you're going to like it. You're going to go home thinking, wow, that was just profound. Why did the rescue workers find Mike? You ready for this? It's deep. Because they were looking for him. That's it. That's why they found him. They were looking for him. That's our job, to be looking for lost people. That's our job as long as we're on planet Earth. It's not just part of our job, it is the job. It's the reason God has left believers on planet Earth so we can populate heaven. Now here's the real irony of Mike's story. The reason Mike couldn't catch any fish in the lake was not because he didn't have the right bait. He found out later it was because there were no fish in the lake. He was fishing in an empty lake. The world, very much like that, is searching for answers in all the wrong places. They're searching for hope, they're searching for salvation, and they just keep getting more and more and more away from God, lost in the wilderness of their own faulty thinking and beliefs. And you and I have the truth. We're the rescue operation. So are we looking for them? Are we looking outward? Are we paying attention to God's heart for the people around us? Or are we just looking at ourselves? If this morning you find God telling you, you need spiritual renewal, spiritual revival, He's telling you that because the thing He cares about the most, you may not be caring about very much, and that's lost people. And if God is doing a work in your life, He's renewing in you that passion and that heart for lost people, people who need Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we pause here this morning, God, I ask, God, you would speak to each of us. Start with me. Show us, God, if we need spiritual renewal. Show us, God, if we need to repent of the sin of not caring for the lost, of not participating in the great things of God to reach lost people for Christ. And God, forgive us for that. Father, I pray we would all experience spiritual renewal, and it would begin with a renewed, a revived concern for lost and hurting people in our generation, people who need Christ. And people who need help. But God, show us that, I pray. Renew and revive in us, God, that heart for the things of God. Father, I also pray for each one of us in here, God. And I realize, Father, this morning there may be someone in here who needs Christ as their Savior. And Father, I pray that you've been speaking to them, that today they would realize they're the ones lost, wandering around looking for the truth. And God, I pray that you would touch their hearts, that they would come to Christ and trust Christ as their Savior today. I pray for us as believers, God, that the call of God would be on our hearts, God. The call to go, the call to serve, and you would sustain that in us, Father. Show us, God, what commitments we need to refresh and what commitments we need to begin. But show us, God, how we can serve you faithfully. And give us all, Father, that passion and that heart for you and for the things that you care about, God. Give us a heart for the people that are hurting and that are lost in our community. Father, I pray that in this time of response, you would be working in our midst, that the Holy Spirit would draw us to the altar, that he would draw us to prayer, that he would draw us to decision today. And if there's one lost in this room, God, that he would draw us home to Christ. And Father, today would be the day that changes everything for us. In Jesus' name.